Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the RepTeChat podcast. This is my spooky voice. I don't really have a script today, so I'm sort of winging it. So, hello. How are we all? We are all good, hopefully. Hopefully you are watching, because I have gone above and beyond for this episode, really. My wife got home earlier and thought I was fake tanning. So if you are watching, say hello in the comments, and I will dip in and out of the comments today as it is just me here. Hopefully you have all had a good spooky season. I know Christmas is just around the corner, but I thought, you know what, it's a few days late, but we are here for spooky season. And today I'm going to be telling some spooky stories. Are hopefully a bit reptile related. So I suppose let's get into it. The first spooky story I have to play today is called The Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp. So I'm going to go through the stories, and if you're chatting in the comments, we will have a chat about that afterwards. It's a little bit ASMR-y, I'm not quite sure, but there we go. So, The Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp. Is a scary creature that lives in areas of swampland near Bishopville in Lee County, South Carolina. The lizard man was first encountered by a 17-year-old boy who was driving home from work in the middle of the night. He had a flat tire and stopped to fix it by the side of the road. Suddenly, he heard an odd thumping noise coming from a field behind him. When he turned around, he saw a monstrous creature running towards him. It had bright red eyes, glowing eyes, and green, scaly skin. The creature was coming at him at a furious pace, running on its spindly hind legs. I looked back and saw something running across the field towards me. It was about 25 yards away, and I saw red eyes glowing. Terrified, the boy jumped into his car and locked the doors. As soon as he locked the door, the creature slammed up against the window and started grabbing and scratching at the door handle. I ran into the car and locked it. The thing grabbed the door handle. I could see him from the neck down. Three big fingers, long black nails, and green, rough skin. It was strong and angry. The young man gathered his wits and started up the car. He drove off, but the thing jumped on the roof and began scratching and clawing at it. The boy began swerving to shake the creature loose from the roof. I looked in my mirror and saw a blur of green running. I could see his toes, and he jumped on the roof of my car. I thought I heard a grunt, and then I could see his fingers through the front windshield. They were curled around the roof. I sped up and swerved to shake the creature off. He was finally able to dislodge the creature, but as he sped away out of the swamp, it continued to chase him, running behind his car for almost a mile. When the young, frightened man arrived home, he woke his parents and told them all about the weird lizard man that attacked him. His father checked the vehicle, and the driver's side mirror was broken and hanging. The roof was covered in long, deep scratches. The police were called, and a report of the creature was made. In the next few months, police began receiving other reports of encounters with the lizard man. Two teenage couples were driving near the swamp when they saw a huge lizard-like creature dash across the road in front of their car. A construction worker was collecting water from a well when a reptilian creature jumped out at him. In 1990, a woman and her five children were driving home and laughing about the lizard man sightings when they had a sudden and frightening encounter. The lizard man jumped out of the bushes and into the road. The woman swerved to avoid hitting it and stomped on the brakes. The creature attacked the car and tried to pry open the doors. The woman managed to drive off before the lizard man could get into the car. In 2004, a young girl was walking by a river when the lizard man attacked her and tried to pull her into the water. People who were parked in the swamp found unusual scratches and bite marks on their cars. Numerous three-toed footprints were found at many of the sighting areas. The lizard man walks and stands on its hind legs like a human. It's 7 feet tall, has large red glowing eyes, and is covered with green, scaly skin. Its head and face look like a cross between a human and a snake. The lizard man's hands have 3 fingers each, with long, black claws. Wow. That is the end of the first story, The Lizard Man of Swamp Awe. So let's just have a quick look and say hello to people in the comments. Who have we got? Hello, Viv Visions, and hello, Paul. Thank you guys for being here. I can see there's other people watching as well, but they're not commenting. So if you want to say hello, drop a comment below. What did we think of the first spooky story? I will give it a second for the comments to come through, if any do, and then we shall move on to the next scary story, spooky story. The comments are delayed on YouTube as well. Thank you all very much for being here, though. See, Viv Visions is just chatting purely about nothing podcast related in the chat, so I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Obviously, right, let's get straight in to spooky story number 2. Now, if you are a snake keeper, you've probably heard this spooky story before. I'd like to preface by saying it's not a true story, but it is a spooky story. So this story is called Pet Snake. The Pet Snake is a scary story about a woman who loves reptiles. So she buys a python at the pet shop and keeps it in her house. There was a woman who bought a pet snake. It was a 12-foot-long Burmese python. She lived alone in a small house with her young son and kept the snake in a tank in the living room. The pet snake had a habit of escaping from its tank. And after a while, the woman began to feel guilty about keeping such a large reptile in a small, confined space. She would often take the snake out of its tank and allow it to roam freely about the house. Her little son loved the pet snake and often brought it out to play in the garden with. One morning, the woman noted the snake had stopped eating. 3 days passed and the snake still hadn't touched any of its food. The woman began to get worried that there was something wrong with the pet snake, so she picked up the phone and called the vet. "Is it normal for a snake to suddenly stop eating?" she asked. "It depends," said the vet. "In the wild, snakes often have to survive for long periods of time without food. Sometimes they starve themselves in preparation for a big meal. Pet snakes can also get a bit bored with what you're feeding them. They like a change of food now and then." The woman took the vet's advice and bought a new type of food for her pet snake, but the snake still refused to eat anything. Not long afterwards, the woman woke up in the middle of the night to find her pet snake lying beside her. It was sleeping, stretched out, completely straight on the bed. Thinking this was a little strange, she picked it up and put it back in the tank. A few days later, her son was playing with the snake in the garden. The woman was washing the dishes in the kitchen when she happened to glance out the window. Her son was lying down on the grass. The snake was lying next to him, stretched out and stiff as a board. The woman became convinced that the snake was dying. She immediately grabbed the phone to call the vet again. My pet snake still isn't eating, she said. I don't think there's anything to worry about, replied the vet. Just keep an eye on it, and if it still isn't eating by the end of the month, bring it to my office. There's something else, said the woman. The other night, I found it lying in my bed beside me. It was stretched out, straight and totally rigid. Oh no, said the vet with alarm. You'll have to get rid of the snake as soon as possible. It will have to be put down. Why? What's wrong with it? Asked the woman. That's what snakes do when they're measuring you up, he said. Measuring me? She asked. It was sizing you up in order to eat you, he replied. The horrified woman turned round and looked out the window, just in time to see her little son's feet disappearing down the snake's throat. Bum, bum, bum. Well, there we go. I'm sure if you are a snake keeper, you will have probably heard that one before. It is a terrifying, terrifying story. Looks like we've got some more people in the chat now, so let's say hello quickly. So we have got... let's show them on screen. So, hello, Visions. I love that story too. It's one that I'm sure we have all heard more than once. And we got Riddler. Yo, I'm here. Don't know how long I can stick around for, but I appreciate you being here. So thank you. Thank you very much. Paul is here too. Hi, Paul. Hope you're having a good day. I really have put a shift in it. You can't see the t-shirt, but I've also got a full skeleton-like costume on, but it's a little bit too far down on the screen. Right. So it's nice to see you all here. Thank you very much. Do we go straight in with story number 3? I think. Does anybody want to take a guess at what story number 3 is? Thanks for being here, Paul. Appreciate it. Oh, and Vicky is here too. Hello, Vicky. Hope you are enjoying the podcast. Cool. Right, let us go into story number 3. So story number 3 is a Japanese story that has been translated into English, so the translation is a little bit off, but you get the idea of the story. And the story is called The Goblin Spider. In very ancient books, it is said there used to be many goblin spiders in Japan. Some folks declare there are still goblin spiders. During the daytime, they look just like common spiders. But very late at night, when everybody is asleep and there's no sound, they become very, very big. And they do awful things. Goblin spiders are supposed to also have the magical power of taking human shape, so as to deceive people. And there is a famous Japanese story about such a spider. There was once, in some lonely part of the country, a haunted temple. No one could live in the building because of the goblins that had taken possession of it. Many brave samurai went to that place at various times for the purpose of killing goblins, but they were never heard of again after they had entered the temple. At last, one who was famous for his courage and his prudence went to the temple to watch during the night. And he said to those who accompanied him there, "If in the morning I be still alive, I shall drum upon the drum of the temple." Then he was left alone to watch by the light of the lamp. As the night advanced, he crouched down under the altar, which supported a dusty image of Buddha. He saw nothing strange and heard no sound until after midnight. Then came a goblin, having but a half a body and one eye. He said, "Hitokusuai, there is a smell of a man. but the samurai did not move. The goblin went away. Then there came a priest, and played upon a samsian, so wonderful that the samurai felt for sure it was not the playing of a man. So he leapt up with his sword drawn. The priest, seeing him, burst out laughing and said, "Ha ha! So you thought I was a goblin? Oh no, I am only the priest of this temple, but I have to keep playing to keep the goblins off. Does this samsian sound not well? Please, play a little." He offered the instrument to the samurai, who grasped it very cautiously with his left hand. But instantly, the samsian changed into a monstrous spider's web, and the priest into a goblin spider, and the warrior found himself caught fast in the web by the left hand. He struggled bravely and struck at the spider with his sword, and wounded it, but he soon became entangled still more in the net, and could not move. However, the wounded spider crawled away, and the sun rose. In a little while, the people came and found the samurai in the horrible web and freed him. They saw tracks of blood upon the floor and followed the tracks out of the temple to a hole in the deserted garden. Out of the hole issued a frightful sound of groaning. They found the wounded goblin spider in the hole and killed it. Bum, bum, bum. That one ends pretty abruptly, not gonna lie. But yeah, that is the tale of the Japanese goblin spider. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. It is, I agree, Ken, it is an interesting story. But yeah, based on true stories according to the Japanese. So be careful when you're walking around temples in Japan at night. You never ever know. Is there such a thing as a goblin spider? Honestly, Riddler, I have no idea. You have to Google it. I didn't even think to fact check it. I trusted the Japanese fairy tales. I will I'll do some research. In fact, if anyone's listening and they want to Google goblin spider and it is a thing, tag me in your Instagram stories and share that. So I actually only have one story left, and the podcast is probably going to be a little bit shorter than I was expecting it to be today because I didn't do a test run. So whilst I am getting ready to read the last story, which is a little bit longer, but not much longer, if you guys have got a spooky story or any comments, you want to drop a comment, chuck it in the comments below. And whilst you're at it, give us a like. So let's get into the last spooky story of today. Oh, actually, Viv Visions are saying, yes, there is such a thing as a goblin spider. So yeah, go check out the goblin spider. Tag me on your Instagram stories. So the last spooky story of the day is called Frogs. Was an old man who caught frogs. Every morning he would go down to the field near his house and squat down on the edge of the pond. Whenever an unsuspecting frog came hopping out of the water, the old man was ready with his net. Before it could leap away, the old man would swipe out with his net, capturing the little creature. Then he would take a needle out of his pocket and drive it through the little frog's brain, killing it instantly. He would put every dead frog he caught into a big glass jar and took them back to his house. When he got home, he would take a sharp knife from the drawer and begin skinning the frogs with great care and patience. Taxidermy was his hobby, and stuffing frogs was a painstaking business. He would stuff their bodies with cotton wool, sew them up, and then dress them in tiny coats and hats. When he was finished, he would frame the frogs and hang them on his wall. Whenever he held a party, the old man would show off his collection of stuffed frogs. Most of his guests laughed at the dead frogs, frozen in funny poses, wearing their little costumes, wigs and hats. Now and then, someone would say it was horrible to treat animals in such a way. Whenever one of his guests complained like that, the old man would just laugh. Early one morning, just before dawn, the old man got out of bed, put on his clothes, and set off for the pond. The sky was still dark, and in the distance, he could hear the sound of croaking. It sounded like hundreds of frogs, all croaking together. When he reached the pond, the sound of the croaking suddenly ceased, and everything was deathly still. He crouched down beside the pond, and he held up the net, ready to strike if he saw anything move. He shivered and waited. The surface of the water was dark and murky. Suddenly, it began bubbling softly. He could smell a horrible stench, like rot or decay. There was a great big gulp, followed by another and another. Patches of slimy weed were floating to the surface. The whole pond seemed to be bubbling with a foul-smelling gas. Then he heard a dreadful slobbering sound, and the noxious fumes overcame him. As he began to lose consciousness, he felt something pull the net out of his hand. He screamed, but there was no one around to hear him. Around noon, a policeman was driving when he caught sight of something very strange. He saw the old man crouched down on the edge of the pond, sitting very still. The disturbing thing about it was the old man was completely naked. The policeman pulled over and got out of his car. He climbed over the wall and approached the old man. "Hey, you there! What do you think you're doing?" the policeman shouted. The old man didn't move. "You can't run around nude in public place," said the policeman gruffly. He reached out and grabbed the old man by the arm. As soon as he touched him, the old man fell over, and the tiny green stitches on his belly burst open. To his horror, the policeman saw that the insides had been stuffed with wet grass, reeds, and water lilies. Wow. How is that for a spooky Halloween Bonfire Night Spooky Season collection of stories? I've got a shiver around my neck. Not be able to sleep tonight. Let's head to the comments to see if anybody has left any spooky stories of their own before we decide to call this one a night. And it's just going to be a little short one tonight. And we're back next episode with standard format. And then we've got some cool stuff coming after that as well. So let's have a look. Oh, it looks like we've got a bit of a story going on over here. So, there was once a reptile shop that still sold red bulbs and reptile carpets. And also ones with dolls furniture. And rabbit pellets. That is enough to give you nightmares. Boom, boom, boom. And then the final comment. Viv Vision says, "Great story, and that's a cracker, and that's a cliffhanger." So there you go. Just goes to show you that if you go out catching frogs to taxidermy them, be extra careful, because you might get taxidermied yourself in the nude as well, and nobody wants that. So yeah. That is the end of today's episode. I know it's a little short and it's all been a little different, but I've enjoyed myself, and hopefully you guys have enjoyed my spooky stories too. If you want to keep up to date, go and check out at RaptorChat on Instagram, and like I said, go and send me some pictures of the goblin spiders, and why not tell us a spooky story of your own. Next episode is in 2 weeks' time, and we have got a very exciting guest on that I'm really looking forward to chatting to. And then after that, starts our Christmas stuff. I know, I can't believe I'm saying the Christmas word already. So, until then, thank you very much for coming along. and I'll see you on the next episode.